Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her head.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger. Tonight, we have an interview with Vicki Lynn Reynolds, writer, creator, composer of the musical, Hattie, What I Need You to Know. So, I think y'all might be interested in this one. It's a lot of information here, Hattie McDaniel. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Of course, we want to hear from you, so if you want to get involved in the conversation, the number is 646-929-2037. Once again, because I want to hear from you, 646-929-2037. And, of course, I know some of y'all are too shy to call. Feel free to email me, dick@smoothdrama.com, and your questions, concerns, comments. I will read them, as well as if you happen to be in our Blog Talk chat room or you happen to be watching me on live stream at www.livestream.com/sdrama. You can go into the chat room there, and while you're there, you get the special treat of seeing my face that's made for radio. So it's a bonus. Also, to keep up with what we got happening here every now and again, we may do some special event somewhere, somehow. Feel free to text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411. Once again, feel free to text the word Smooth Drama to the number 41411. Because, of course, I'm trying to stalk you as much as you're trying to stalk me, right? Something like that. Anyway, getting it started. You know how nowadays we have so many syndromes out there. You know, we've got a syndrome for a syndrome for another syndrome. And of course, not only do we have the syndrome, but we have the drugs to back up the syndromes. The latest syndrome, mysterious disorder of all disorders is post-orgasmic illness syndrome, or POIS. I guess that would be poise. Supposedly, this syndrome causes flu-like symptoms, including fever, runny nose, stinging eyes, and sudden intense fatigue after an orgasm. Now, the sudden intense fatigue, I just thought that was natural, but after a long workout, you think that would be natural, but I guess according to them, disorder, flu-like symptoms, including fever. I'm thinking the fever is because it was hot, because you was having sex for long. I guess it depends on the person, because I guess some people can't go past 2-3 minutes, and so anything past that gets them all hot and sweaty, and they think they're having a fever. No, you just hot and sweaty because you were having sex. Runny nose, stinging eyes, that just means you were doing it good. Sudden fatigue? Come on. I mean, you're just making up stuff. Now, that's what the majority of the population who actually indulge in sexual activity would call good sex is a syndrome now. Well, post-orgasmic illness syndrome. coming to a theater near you. Oh, makes you wonder sometimes. Sort of like now starting in Colorado, and I'm sure it'll be moving all over the United States. Trip to the DMV, make you an automatic organ donor. Supposedly there's a state bill that's been going through the state legislature in Colorado, and it makes it where you have to opt out of being an organ donor as opposed to you opting in. Well, anybody who's been to the DMV, that godforsaken place that you have to sit an hour and a half to 2 hours that you can't get back at that time, you're in there and you fill out the paperwork, and now instead of do you want to be an organ donor, you have to say no, I don't want to be an organ donor, or they're going to make you one automatically. So and this is something that they're looking to pass here sometime this month. So you figure if it does it there, and this is Senate Bill 11-042, if it becomes law, Colorado will be the first state in the nation with what's called presumed consent. Yeah. Presumed consent. Now, being the conspiracy theorist that I am, the whole presumed consent, to me, you know, there are all kinds of other social, moral implications. Like somebody scouring the database and you see such and such has not opted out and they're organ donor, so you go in and arrange an accident. I know it's far-fetched. It's something out of a movie, a conspiracy movie, but, hey, stranger things have happened, and I could totally see that going down. I know some folks think, hey, Dick, you tripping, but nah, I don't think I am. I think I'm on point with that, and you know, never underestimate somebody who needs a kidney, somebody who needs a heart. And Lord knows you can get damn near any information you want off the internet. Folks looking up, hacking into the system and finding out who you are and who, you know, it's a whole big can of worms, folks getting you for your organs. Make no mistakes. You hear those quote-unquote urban legends about people going out on dates and waking up and somebody took their kidneys, whatnot. Some of that really does happen. Somebody scanning the internet, hacking into a medical system, medical data in the hospital. You done went in there for your checkups, and they know what your blood type is and everything else, and these kind of things can happen. I know some folks don't think it can happen. It sounds far-fetched and crazy. I tend to think that it's not far-fetched and crazy. But that's just me. I mean, who am I? I'm just a guy who put that kind of stuff out there. I wonder if some folks think along them lines, along those that type of way. I can see it happening. Or it could be like San Jose. San Jose has had a rise of homicides, and so the San Jose officials say, you know what, these string of homicides, they not real, it's an aberration. You know, it's not really happening. It just came out there because I guess in San Jose, it's the Mecca paradise and whatnot, and supposedly nothing goes down in San Jose. Well, so far, from what they've confirmed, it's like six people have been killed so far in San Jose, and there's a big uproar. So they're like, no, there's no need to panic. It's an aberration. Now, I'm sure those families who lost loved ones would tend to disagree and say, no, my child's death, my loved one's death is not an aberration. But according to the good people in San Jose's police department, it is. It doesn't really exist. On that note, we're going to take our first commercial break before we go get Miss Reynolds on here. This is Kayla. I got what you want. Crack.
Yeah, you can call on me whenever you need. Hit me on the cell, I'll be down the street. You know where it's at, if you're needing that. And even if you don't, I got what you want, won't. You can call on me whenever you need. Hit me on the cell, I'll be down the street. You know where it's at, if you're needing that. And even if you don't, I got what you want, won't. I got what you want.
I don't look like it, huh? Caught you by surprise, but I don't meet expectations, I just apply. Whatever you need and he needs and she needs, come see me, just call me, I got it for a small fee. I got it all, be well ground coffee, beans, collard greens, and a couple new car keys. Can you follow me? Is you keeping up? Ain't gotta ask me if I got it, cause I keep the stuff. And if I don't, I bet I know somebody who can come and bring it to me before this metaphor is even done. So take a fucking breather. Matter of fact, breathe in this reefer. Now how that tastes, I bet you never had no push that's sweeter. Yeah, that's that good, shake and bake, Rick and Bobby. They do this for a living, this is just my hobby. And if you're looking for me, it won't be hard to find me. I'm over there by the curb serving everybody.
Whenever you need, hit me on the cell, I'll be down the street. You know where it's at, if you're needing that. And even if you don't, I got what you want, won't. You can call on me, whenever you need. Hit me on the cell, I'll be down the street. You know where it's at, if you're needing that. And even if you don't, I got what you want, won't. I got what you want.
I got what you want. I got what you need. A supermarket Walmart can't fuck with me. I'm what a hustler be. Perfect definition. I am economics. Hood chick edition. I'm what the hood been missing. I keep the business running. So my doorstep looking forward like I owe them something. Yeah, I get the end making runs like G and Rummins. Somebody got to win. Somebody got to get this money. I got to get it if I don't, somebody else will. Don't give a fuck about the way somebody else feel. I don't know how health feels. My dough feels steady solo. Sometimes it flows slow, but I still get steady dough though. Oh, nigga, you don't know I'm a duffel bag chick. Hit the fast track with a backpack full of duffel bag bricks. If it ain't flipping, I ain't tripping. I don't stumble past shit. I ain't bragging, I'm just rapping. I'm a humble bag.
You can call on me whenever you need. Hit me on the cell, I'll be down the street. You know where it's at, if you're needing that. And even if you don't, I got what you want, won't. You can call on me whenever you need. Hit me on the cell, I'll be down the street. You know where it's at, if you're needing that. And even if you don't, I got what you want, won't. I got what you want.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Kayla. I Got What You Want off her album, The Coldest Winter Ever. Oh, well. Anyway, now, without further ado, we're going to get Miss Reynolds in on the phone call so we can talk. Ring, ding. Ding, dong. Ring, ding, dong. Ring. I am calling you. Can you answer? Can you answer? Give me an H. Give me an A. Give me a T. Give me an I. What's that spell? That spell's Hattie. Okay. All right. We're going to try that again one more time because I'm sure, like y'all, the sound of constant ringing is unappealing to the ear.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello?
Hello. Welcome to Smooth Drama.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm okay. Can you hear me good on this one?
I can hear you. There's a little buzzing, but I can hear you.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm going to try this other phone. Hold on.
All right.
I can't believe this.
All right. So that everyone knows, this is Miss Vicki Lynn Reynolds, writer and composer of the musical Hattie. What I need you to know. Miss Reynolds? Huh? We seem to have lost Miss Reynolds. Miss Reynolds.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Okay, I'm back. I'm here.
All right.
I'm having trouble with phones around here.
Okay. It happens. All right. So tell us, what do we need to know?
Oh, it's a lot that you need to know about Miss Hattie McDaniel. She was something else. She was civil rights before civil rights. She was something else. She, most people don't know that Miss Hattie McDaniel was the reason that African Americans, Chinese, and Jews are able to buy houses, because she went all the way to the Supreme Court to have to fight for that, and her and 250 other people had it passed in California and it spread all around the country.
All right. Well, tell people, because we're throwing out the name like everybody else knows who Hattie McDaniel is. Tell everybody, who is Hattie McDaniel and what did she do?
Hattie McDaniel was the first African American to win an Oscar for her role as Mammy in the epic film Gone with the Wind. That's one of the biggest things that she left us in history.
Okay.
She also had a brother and sister who were in show business. I can't remember who. Sam McDaniel and Etta McDaniel.
Okay.
And Otis, her brother. So really is like a mentor who brought her into the business, taught her how to dance and sing.
Okay, so you tell me, what inspired you to do the Hattie McDaniel musical?
Well, my brother was Ron Richardson. He was a Tony Award winner for the play Big River. He played Jim in Big River. He passed away in 1995.
Okay.
But before he passed, he said to me, "Vicki Lynn, you should do the life story of Hattie McDaniel." And I was like, "I'm not doing Hattie McDaniel." And I was on the set one day of Polly, and a friend of mine, his name was Larry Riley, he also passed away, but you will remember him. He was in the Soldier Story, the guy that played the guitar.
Yeah.
He said to me, he said, "Vicki Lynn, sit down. If nobody mentions it to you, if nobody writes it for you, then you write it yourself. But you do the story of Hattie McDaniel." And at that time, I was very ignorant to Hattie McDaniel. And I found in writing the piece and in doing research on her is that I had a big dose of self-hatred. People used to always say that I looked like Hattie McDaniel, and I took that as an insult.
Okay. So tell me, what's the self-hatred? Where did that come from?
That comes from being growing up in Philadelphia as a little girl, and I always had vacations in South Carolina. And, you know, and this was like before Black was proud, and, you know, it was back when they were calling, you know, you Black thing, and everybody...
That's never stopped. That was going to be around for a long time.
Well, it has stopped a lot from what from when I was a little girl. And I was slapped by a white man in the South. My cousins, we had gone to the store, and they said, Nicky, candy? And I said, no, Daddy has Rachel. And it did. And the old store owner slapped me in my face and called me a nigger. So all of that, in my own psyche as a little girl coming up, I began to... And you know, Hattie McDaniel, I feel like, was not what Hollywood was looking for.
Well, she still ain't.
Huh?
She still ain't.
Oh, no. No, not now. So, you know, people are trying. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
But getting back to the self-hatred thing. But after I started doing Hattie McDaniel. And Hattie, back in that time, Hattie McDaniel was the sex symbol in the Black community. That's what, remember, heavy and dark brown skin in... Because my mother, they called my mother Black Beauty.
They called her what?
Black Beauty.
Oh, okay.
BB. but I started doing research on her, and I found her to be a wonderful, wonderful actress and a wonderful person. And she was so loved by... White and Black Hollywood.
Right. Now I know that in Hattie's life, she did over 300 films, but she only got credit for like 80 of them. And
exactly. Mm-hmm.
And I know that, you know, in those days, I mean, they always talk about how hard it is for Black actresses now. I mean, I can imagine how terrible it was then during the days. I mean, we talking about the height of Jim Crow.
Right, absolutely. and she had to be a marvelous person to even receive an Oscar for 1939. You know, she had to be something special.
Well, we know that she didn't get in the front door, so.
No, she definitely not.
Yeah, I know there's no front door access for her, unfortunately.
No.
All right, now I know you did the you're doing the play.
Yes.
Tell us about the play and what goes on in the play.
Well, it starts from her. It opens with Hattie McDaniel on screen during her acceptance speech. And she comes back to tell her story. And it starts from her childhood on through her till she's a parent.
Okay.
And it's 12 songs in the show.
12 songs?
I wrote 10 of them.
Okay. All right. And so the focus we're starting off with her and her life, and you're starting off at the pinnacle of her life, and then I'm sure from there you're gonna go through her low parts also.
Her childhood, parts of her childhood. She was married 4 times, so we talked about her husband. And, of course, receiving the Academy Award. When I started writing this, I laid down on Hattie's grave and talked to her. And the different questions that I asked her, she didn't, of course, say, that's right, Vicki, yes, this is like this. No, but I got a certain feeling, and I cannot even explain. But after this talk to her, I felt like she put her hand on my shoulder and said, go for it, girl, you know.
Well, you know, I heard Denzel Washington was talking about this. Few of the characters that he did, like when he did Stevie Biko, when he did Hurricane, and when he did Malcolm X, he was like he was channeling it. And so I can understand what you're saying. When you deeply immerse yourself in something, you can kind of channel that character, and it's like they're living on inside you.
Absolutely, yeah. I feel like that every time I perform.
So where and when can we see the music?
Well, if you're in Los Angeles, it opens March 4th, and it runs through, right now it's the first 3 weekends in March, at Stage 52 Playhouse, 5299 West Washington Boulevard in Los Angeles.
Okay, and so, I was going to ask you, is it going to be Los Angeles exclusive, or do you plan on going up and down the coast or making it something where you tour across the nation?
Yes, I am looking to tour And you said Michigan?
Huh?
Did you say Michigan?
No, I'm actually in California also. I'm just in Northern California. I'm in the Bay Area, Oakland.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'd be happy to be my honor to come check out your show if I can get down that way. Or hopefully one of these days, sometime this summer, you'll make it the tour up this way. If you come up to the Bay Area, I know I'll be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would love that. I have quite a few friends in the Bay Area, and they are on me to get there.
Well, I mean, this is the home, as I found out in my brief time here. This is the home of art. I mean, people support the arts out here, big time.
Most definitely, big time. See, I don't know if you know about a letter writing campaign that I am doing. Did I tell you about that?
Yeah, you briefly touched on it. Talk to me about your letter writing campaign.
Okay, when Hattie received her Oscar in 1940 for 1939, And all supporting actors received a plaque, not the statuette as you know it today.
Right.
And she had given it to Howard University after her passing. And it was stolen from Howard University during the 60s in the riots.
Uh-huh.
So I am starting a letter writing campaign to get Hattie a statuette and have it housed at Sigma Gamma Rho sorority headquarters in North Carolina. Hattie was a member of Sigma Gamma Rho, and she started a chapter here in Los Angeles.
All right. So I see that the honorary chair is Louis Gossett Jr. Now,
absolutely. Also, Oscar winner, yes.
All right, so how do we get involved?
Well, there will be a petition online. I have a group. It's called the Friends of Hattie on Facebook. People can go to Facebook and join Friends of Hattie, and you'll definitely be in the mix of all the information that goes out about this writing campaign. And as well, you can also write me at my email address, cando13@msn.com.
Okay.
And we also will have petitions for people who don't do the internet. If you contact me, I will send you a petition through the mail.
All right, that's real cool. So me as a radio entity, how can I be involved?
You know, big time. You're talking to people all the time. You have, I don't know what your reach is, as far as I don't know what your numbers are, but definitely I would love you to join Friends of Hattie, and I would love to be able to put you on the list.
I think I'm already a friend.
Okay. Yes, you are.
Yeah. So, I mean, for me, I would love to be involved with this campaign.
Okay.
Also, now, is this something you plan on? Is this something that you plan on doing, like, with every show? You plan, because I know we, of course, know that in a couple of weeks we'll be in the middle of Black History Month.
Right.
Is that something that you plan on promoting in different events all across all over California, just beginning?
Yes. Well, you know, the one thing that's beautiful about the internet, it's all across the country, all across the world. I mean,
yes.
It's amazing to me how many people love Ted.
Well, I mean, it's not necessarily a shock. I mean, because we're talking about a movie that probably not this generation, but the generation before our generation have seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, have seen the character, may not know the name of the character,
yes. Mm-hmm.
But you know that they're there. And I think what's important when you talk about this the campaign is how you talked about how what she did, not just movie wise, but what she tried to do for the common man. I think that is the most important thing that needs to get out there, that message.
Yes, absolutely. You're right, absolutely.
Yeah, cause
she was something else. I know that we would, if I was in the time that she, in the space that she occupied, I know that we would be friends.
Yeah. I'm sure in Hollywood she didn't get to walk around with everybody else, so any friend that looked like her probably was a bonus. So, I mean, I know we're making fun of this. I mean, because those was real serious times, and it was some real, real back in those days. Not that we're all that loving now, but I commit.
So the thing about now is that it's hidden, you know? I mean, it was a time where, okay, I know I'm going to the South. I know what I'm looking for. I know what, you know, to look out for.
I'm from New Orleans. You ain't got to sugarcoat it. I know exactly what you're talking about.
But now everything is just hidden. And you know, it's like a wolf in sheep's clothing.
I don't think it's particularly hidden.
You don't think what?
I don't think anything is hidden. I just think that we're in the time where we're in the I don't give a damn time.
Yeah.
where things that are important, folks don't pay too much attention to. Because, you know, I guess because people feel like it's overload of bad stuff going on in the world, so we'll just ignore it all. And so long as I can get a 40 and some chips on the weekend, and I'm good, I guess.
That's from the opposite where I was talking about. I'm talking about the wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, I know you're talking about the wolf in sheep's clothing, but see, I'm talking about the people who are the sheep. Because the sheep know what the wolf is. I mean, you can put on sheep's clothing, but you still know it's a wolf.
Right.
It's just people aren't particularly caring whether or not there's a wolf in sheep's clothing hanging out with.
Look, I find that a lot in California.
I don't think it's a California thing. You know,
on the East Coast, I think it's a little more Afrocentric.
I would disagree with you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because one, I am in Oakland, the home of the Panthers. They originated here, California. I think that when we talk about Afrocentric, I mean, you'll have people who will put on dashikis and quote stuff, but do they actually
Absolutely. I hear where you're coming from already before you finish it.
You know, I'm like, you know, there are a lot of people who do a lot of quoting, but nobody, they don't touch people. To me, I look at somebody as conscious, as somebody who actually touches people and affects actual people's lives, not preaching. I mean, because I'm on the radio and I can say a whole bunch of shit. But, I mean, it means what? If I'm not out there amongst people, I don't touch people, I don't treat people the right way, what is conscious?
Absolutely. There is no conscience to me, you know.
Well, see, what's funny is, because I always talk about, and it's one of my staples, I'm of the comedic tradition, where I feel that the comedic tradition is, if you want things to live, you keep them alive through the word, and you speak their name. So, are keeping a comedic tradition when you speak on Hattie McDaniel.
Mm-hmm.
You keep her name alive.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to if you don't, in the comedic tradition, if you don't want it to live, you just don't say the name. So a lot of times when I'm dissing somebody, I'll make a reference to them, but I won't say their name, because if you don't say their name, you don't give them the power.
Absolutely.
Until they let it. And I think that it's important that you do that when you honor someone who did good.
Yes.
And try to help people. You know, we honor those folks instead of, I mean, because I was looking, like, the whole, these reality shows, and...
Why do they call them that?
Yeah.
Why do they call them reality shows? It's nothing reality... There is no reality to those shows.
Right. I mean, it's just people mugging for the camera, hollering and screaming.
Yeah. I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's acting to me.
I hope this has a short run. That's all I can say.
Well, I don't know, because Lord knows there's a reality. There's like four reality shows on every station, it seems like.
Yep.
They won't stop. I'm like, I saw Joan Rivers being one. I'm like, they're not afraid that she's going to sneeze and her face is going to explode on TV? When there's a kitchen, it's gonna pop out.
Papa, I'm just getting over a cold.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to choke you up here. I'm just saying. Anyway, we getting off track here. Tell the people if they want to see Patty, what you need to know. Where can they go one more time?
To Stage 52, Fayette. 5299 West Washington Boulevard in Los Angeles.
All right. Okay.
March 4th, 5th, and 6th. March 11th, 12th, and 13th. March 18th, 19th, and 20th. On the 11th of March, Louis Gossett Jr. will be hosting the performance, and also that will be the launch of the writing campaign to the Motion Pictures Arts Society.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll try to get down there. It's sometime in March. I'll try to get down there for one of those shows.
I hope you do. I look forward to seeing you.
All right. Now let me ask you this. Tell the people where they can catch up to you so they can get information not only about the play but also about the writing campaign, or if they wanted to, you know, anything you're doing.
You can contact me at my email address, candoo, CANDOO13 at MSN.com. And I invite you to join Friends of Hattie group on Facebook. And you could also go to Hattie, what I need you to know.com. And check out the website. Soon, I've lost my web designer. I can't find him. I'm so upset. His name is Choice Francis. If anybody know anything about Choice Francis, please have him call me.
We putting out a missing person APB.
A missing person. God, it's my web designer. Because I'd like to be able for people to go to the website and sign up, sign the petition, and that should be able to happen soon.
Mr. Francis, we're looking for you. Don't make us catch up to you and kidnap you and get you back to the website.
Please.
All right, Ms. Reynolds, I want to thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, and keep in touch.
Yes, ma'am, I will definitely do that, and I will let you know if I'll be able to get down there. Get better. You got to get that cold out of you.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, you take care.
Get to you now.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. That was Miss Vicki Lynn Reynolds, creator, composer of the musical Hattie, What You Need to Know. Y'all check her out. Check out the play. From what I'm reading in here, it looks like it's going to be real nice. And on that note, I'm going to go on a quick commercial break, listening to a song by my man Frankie Flowers. This is Coolness.
Another Newport off his lips and ask him if he wanna hit. Take a whiff and hold a smoke. It's gonna kill ya, this is not a joke. Blow. Another side to his coolness.
was a special kind of liquid. Daddy always carry with him. Daddy always had that wind up in him. Mommy used to try and stop daddy. Daddy kept on hitting, kept more women, kept on leaving. Even on my birthday, he was liquored up. Make a wish, son. I wanna be broke.
That's cool.
I wanna have a smoke.
That's cool.
I wanna have a drink.
That's cool.
I wanna hit on women too.
That's cool.
I wanna leave my family.
That's cool.
I wanna break promises.
That's cool.
I wanna be just like you. Cool. He asked more about his coolness. He knew what to do. He was such a cool kid. A lot of youngers in his school did what dude said. Years later, most of his crew is dead. In the grave or in jail, doing drugs. Now that's keeping it real. For real. Still talking about his coolness. You can do it too, it's really nothing to it. He said dropping out of school ain't foolish. The ones learning are the ones being fool kids. Good grades, graduate, go to college, earn a degree. Not me. I wanna be dumb.
That's cool.
I wanna be a bum.
That's cool.
I wanna live in the slums.
That's cool.
I don't wanna learn any more cool. I wanna sell drugs.
That's cool.
I wanna be a thug.
That's cool.
I wanna be just like you. Cool. He rather hang out on the corner with his homie, chasing money, being phony, being fake, cause it's cool. Only gigging, selling crack, weed, and pills. Has a car with 26 inch rims. Only buys Jordans and Tims, Forces and Brims. But still living with his mother in a basement. Tell me that ain't cool. Carries guns, thinking he's tough. Flexing muscles, thinking he's buff. Mr. Bad Guy. You're the problem and I've had enough. I refuse to let another kid be nothing like you growing up. You the fool, the joke on you. You the one who messed up, you not cool. So tell the kids this. You can be an actor,
that's cool.
You can make movies,
that's cool.
You can make music,
that's cool.
You can even write books too,
cool.
You can be a firefighter, that's cool. You can be a scientist,
that's cool.
You can travel all over the world, cool. You can be a doctor,
that's cool.
You can be a lawyer,
that's cool.
You can be a professor,
that's cool.
You can be an astronaut too, cool. You can be the mayor,
that's cool.
You can be the governor,
that's cool.
You can be the next president of the United States. Now that's being cool.
Together you got to be smooth, drummer.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Frankie Flowers. Coolness. Because, of course, having the right frame of mind, that's cool. Positive over negative. Love over hate. Speaking of love over hate, y'all know me. I created a whole name and persona, Dick Hugger. Which means F the N word. I love myself enough to hate a word that means ignorance, which is the embodiment of hate. So, as I said earlier, you don't give life to it by not saying it. So, I try to kill it as much as possible. Whether it be through my name, which I know some people as nowadays say it's the term of endearment. So I created my own term of endearment for your so-called term of endearment. Why am I talking about this? Well, there's a school play that in Bridgeport, Connecticut, there's a school, a magnet school, that they're day, and it's called Joe Turner's Coming On. Sagittarius, and it centers on the African-American struggle in 1911. Now, the school, Waterbury's Arts Magnet School, they want to perform the work, and the issue is the characters use the N-word often. Now, I know this came up a little bit earlier this month when people were talking about the Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer and editing out the N-words because people are sensitive to it, supposedly. Now, me, myself, I disagree. I'm like, hey, the author wrote that. The author intended that to be there. That is part of his work. And when you start editing out people's works and the words and their intentions of the word, you kind of change the story. You take away from the story. That's when they talk about this play, they don't want to use the N-word. And it's funny to me how a play, they don't want the N-word used, debating, but they have no problem with flooding the airwaves with this, the music. And don't get me wrong, I'm a big hip hop guy. So me being a big hip hop guy, hearing the N word is like it is part of the package. You know, it's a love hate thing. You know, you love the hip hop art, but I could do it without the N word, but I wouldn't want the artists to compromise who they were and how they felt about it, even though I personally disagree. But they have the right to express themselves because that's how they express themselves. So, just like I was against that author's words being edited out, which to me is censorship, I'm against this school talking about taking the N-word out. No, I'm very much for it. Put it in there. Well, not put it in there because it's already in there. Just don't worry about the N-word because Lord knows it's not like it's not being said every day, all day, somehow, some way. Hopefully one day it'll go away. People will one day be enlightened enough to let the word die. I mean, if I could make a wish, I would wish that word into non-existence. Or, as I stated before, if I get the time machine, I can go back and the person that makes up the word, I can just shoot them before they even say it and they're thinking about it. This pile, and just the word never even comes up. But that's just me. Me and my brotherly love, unlike Alabama Governor Robert Bentley, who, I guess he has a non-Christian issues. He, new governor, yo, those of you who don't know, the new governor of Alabama, Robert Bentley, told a church crowd that, hey, those people who haven't accepted Jesus as their Savior are not his brothers and sisters. He says, anybody here today who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I'm telling you, you're not my brother and you're not my sister, and I want to be your brother. Now, for me, I'm like, isn't this the whole, isn't that one of them, you see it on the license plate, WWJD, what would Jesus do? You know, I'm thinking that the one you call Jesus would want to make the people their brothers and sisters by talking to them and being nice and showing them through actions. I mean, this is the dude who's drawing the line in the name of the one who he says is all about love. So basically, he's spreading hate and discontent in the name of the one who is against hate and discontent. Good job, Robert. Should I just call him Bob? Oh, Billy Bob down there acting ignorant, as always. But no shock that he's from Alabama, because they, in the name of God, would rather hate than love. Because, you know, that's what Jesus was, right? One you call Jesus was a hater, right? He hated in the name of love for everybody. Woo. Anyway, Gordon Brown, he's warning everybody that the global youth unemployment epidemic is at epidemic proportions. And he's urging joint action by the G20 group, which is supposedly the group of developed nations. And they're supposed to tackle rising joblessness. Now, G20 is the Great 20. So that already should tell you how they feel about little people. You know, the Great 20 are the 20 developed nations. We're above everybody else. We're the elite. We're talking about the Great 20 is supposed to tackle the rise in joblessness. I think they're probably happy with that. I mean, we know a lot of the elite are against the people being here in the first place. They think that it's overpopulated. So they hope that with the poverty, you know, they'll turn crime to kill themselves. I know y'all think that I'm a little too harsh in my assessment, but when if they show any compassion toward the quote-unquote little guy, meaning you and I. You know, because I think sometimes people don't think of themselves as the little guy. No, we are the little guy. They are the big guy. We are the little guy. They don't care about you and joblessness. Hey, if I'm lying, I'm flying. And you don't see no wings on me. At least, maybe they're invisible to me and y'all can see them perfectly. Oh, G20, the Great 20. Loving people, right? Right. On that note, I want to thank y'all. I want to thank y'all for listening. I want to thank Miss Vicki Lynn Reynolds for coming on the show. I want everybody stay safe, common sense, and love one another. You know, we need some more love out here. We need to give love to each other. I ain't talking that kumbaya, hold my hand and walk down the street love. I'm talking about genuine love and respect. And on that note, I'm Dick Hugger, Smooth Drama. We out. Thank you.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.